and begin to declare, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I step into my season of fruitfulness. I begin to multiply. As it is written, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Say, I have dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. In this year 2015 and beyond, I have dominion. Say, I have dominion. I have grace, and I have greater grace than before. I become something great in life, not by my own strength, but by the power of God working towards me. Say, I declare, greater understanding is my portion in this my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ, say, I renounce every worldly thought, every idea contrary to God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now declare this, say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. As the word of God is coming forth, it is penetrating into my heart. It is changing me, building me up, so I can receive my own inheritance. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Greet somebody beside you as you take your seat. Say, it's going to be a great year for you. Say, it's going to be a great year. Say, God will preserve Nigeria because of you. Say, despite all the negative prophecies. Say, despite all the negative prophecies. Despite all the negative predictions. God will preserve this country because of you. Because of you. Tell the person, because of you. Because of you. You will not run helter-skelter. Say, tell the person, you will not run at noonday. You will not run at night. You will have no occasion for disturbance. Peace is your portion in the name of Jesus. Peace is your portion in the name of Jesus. Please take your seat. I don't want you to miss Tuesday Bible study prayer meetings beginning from this Tuesday. All right? There's one word I heard. I was meditating on something. I was listening to one message somewhere along the line, and the man of God used the word ownership. I said, good, this is what we're talking about. So I want to talk about that issue of ownership, that the Christians have to take ownership, all right? And let us set a proper direction, okay, for the year. Everything you hear that's being spoken that is negative is not just false commentary. They are prophetic words that people are issuing into the realm of the spirit, which evil spirits can use to scatter things. So what we need to do is issue forth words also with the angels of God who are mighty in strength, that hearken unto the voice of His word, the words that they can use to do warfare on the behalf of the church of Christ. So once again, you are welcome to the year 2015. It's, again, the season of fruitfulness. If you believe that, say amen. Say, this is my season of fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, quickly, let us start today. Today, my focus for this year, that's what I have in mind, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. I have two main things I want to talk about, but both of them, I believe, are about the same direction. But the main thing is talking about a kingdom-minded life. You understand? Living a life that is centered on the kingdom of God. That's what I want us to begin to study, how to live a life that is kingdom-minded, how to walk in a manner that shows that we mind the things that are above, all right? How to live this life as citizens indeed of heaven. All right, but what I want to talk about today, first of all, is talk about the purpose of everything that we are doing, all right? And then later on, I feel like examining in further depth this matter of the will of God. I've talked about will of God here and there, written a number of materials on it, short sermons, little books. I have one of the biggest books I ever wrote, which is not yet published. I wrote it more than 10 years ago. It's bigger than almost all the ones that has published. All right? But I've never read its title, Grace to Live By. All right? Grace to Live By. That's what I discussed in it, how people should walk in the will of God for their lives, how to discover it. The book is quite it's a systematic study on that subject. I never really released it. It's there. Maybe one day I'll just release it in PDF format and put it on the internet. I wrote the book more than 10 years ago. So it's one of the first ones that I wrote after I came Kingdom World Ministry started. All right, so we'll talk about that here and there. But what I want to do again, I feel like last year I talked about the will of God being sanctification towards the end, and I want to develop that matter further because people must understand it. Without it, you cannot really walk in the kingdom of God. So we're going to begin to talk about that maybe from next Saturday. I don't know when we'll start exactly, but let's see how today goes. But what I want us to talk about today is the purpose for everything that we are doing, and I want us to start from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We'll also read from the book of Matthew. All right, let's read that one first, the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Where I want to read is the issue of the fact that he gave gifts unto men and the purpose for which he gave those gifts to men. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, verse 4. He said, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Please notice this. There is one body and there is one spirit, and you were called in one hope of your calling. He said, there is one Lord, verse 5, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And I said in verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, just to save time, in verse 11, it now says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And the purpose is in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service or the work of ministry. I like to use that King James expression because the word ministry is very common in our society, so it will help us to connect. He said, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And I said in verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all respects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, this is the main text I want to use to explain what I want to say today. Now, you notice what he said here from verse 4. He said, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all. Now, my emphasis here is when he said one hope of your calling. The calling is just one. Hope is expectation. Hope in the scriptures, I just need to explain it again because sometimes the opposite is what we hear a lot, especially when we listen a lot to those of us that teach faith. Sometimes we picked a wrong interpretation somewhere along the line and we ran with it without really critically examining it. Sometimes you hear that hope is uncertain, but that is English hope. It's not the Bible hope. You read a book, maybe somebody's teaching on faith, there is that hope is uncertain. The man who has hope will not receive anything. It's not so scripturally. But when is somebody speaking English language uses the word hope, yes, it is uncertain. It is uncertain. For example, you say, I hope you'll be around next week. Say, I hope so. You understand? When you say that, it's an English expression which says, it's not certain. I might be in Kotangora. I may have gone to Botswana. I may be on my way back from Malawi. You understand? Or I may be in town. You understand? That's what you mean when you say, I hope so. That is, the desire of my heart is to be around. I will do the best I can to be around, but don't count on it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that sometimes when I interpret the Bible meaning hope, Bible word hope, we use that expression also. So when the Bible says hope is the substance of things hoped for, faith is the substance of things hoped for, we now say that if you have hope, you have to go and look for faith to give it substance. But that was not exactly what Paul was saying. He said the Bible, the meaning of the word hope in the scriptures is expectation. And if I like the way Vines put it, there is a firm expectation. For example, if you say, if I'm driving, if you say, where are you going? I'm going home. What the Greek says is that I have the expectation of being home in 5 minutes. So that is the word hope. So my hope is to be home in 5 minutes. Not my desire. It is that I have calculated everything. There is no traffic problem. I'm driving my car. The car is good. I know how to drive. I don't expect any trouble. So I should be home in 5 minutes. So what the Bible says, if somebody has a hope like that, there must be a reason. If you see what I just said now, I outlined the number of reasons why I made that statement. That is, I've checked my car, I've checked the traffic, it doesn't look bad. In fact, if you take a flight, you know the way it is. After the pilot has reached a particular altitude, everything is settled. He now starts welcoming you to the flight. He says, it looks like a good weather. The flight is going to be 6 hours between here and Heathrow Airport. We expect to land at so and so time, you know. Local time, you know, it tells you we are landing 6 a.m. local time. He has that expectation. Why? He has checked the weather. He has checked everything. Nothing should go wrong. You understand? And it's in the same manner, when somebody gives any statement, there is a foundation for what he's saying. And the Bible says when a child of God makes a statement that is firm, say why? He said it is because he has faith. Do you understand my point? Not because he has a material substance, but because he has what? Faith. So if he says, what is your name? Abraham. Why are you Abraham? Do you know the meaning of Abraham? He said, because God called me one day and he promised. And I call him faithful who has promised. Are you getting my point? Because you look at the man, as old as you are still expecting you have a child. Yes, because somebody promised and that fellow is faithful. So he bears the name Abraham with pride. He is sure. So that when he says, go and sacrifice your son, he does that as later on after he had the child grew to a particular age, and God said, come and sacrifice him. He does it because the Bible says he counted him faithful who he promised. What was the promise? In Isaac will your seed be. Are you getting my point? So when he said to the mother, the lad and I will return back to you, it was an expectation that was based on faith. So the Bible says, faith, therefore, is the substance of every hope that a child of God has. Are you getting my point? His hope is not in his certificate. His hope is not in what he has done. His hope is, this is the word of God to me. So for example, you hear me say it all the time. If I say in this life, I will never be poor. Not because I love money or anything. I just understand it. Say why? Because one day, I was just sitting jeje. It wasn't my fault. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only thing I did was to read that day. And the scripture just jumped up. Boom! Hit me in the face. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So that's the only thing. I've never thought about, okay, is it because I'll learn how to invest? No. The foundation of my confidence is what? Is the word of God. So that is what is called faith. So that has given me what? An expectation in life. That's given me an expectation. Please bear that in mind. Now, what I want to explain further here, I don't even know why I went into all that story about hope. The Bible said there is one hope of your calling. Now listen to this. There is one thing that God expects from you. I just talked about prosperity as an example now. I can talk about healing. I can talk about different things. But that is not one hope. These are various hopes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? All right, but there is one hope that God has for everybody, which is our calling. Sometimes we look at the word calling. We look at it as, what is your calling? I'm a pastor. What's your calling? I'm an evangelist. What's your calling? I'm a businessman. I've been called to finance the gospel. What's your calling? We look at all of those things. And then, of course, in the context in which we are speaking, what we are saying is correct. However, the Bible makes it clear there is one hope of our calling. What I was saying, if you go and read Ephesians chapter 1, he explained that God, that if you go back, this same Ephesians, go back up, that he prays that God will give you the spirit of knowledge and revelation, the knowledge of him, that you will understand the hope of your calling. Are you getting my point? And every believer has one. That's what I'm trying to explain. Every child of God has one, and it is the same. It's not different for a Nigerian and another one for an American. one for a man, another for a woman. No. All of us have one hope. One hope that we have been called to. And this is what I'm getting to. And that's why we read it further down. He said, till we all come. That's where we're going. If you go down to that verse 11. He said, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now listen to this. The single hope, what God called everybody to, the calling that all of us have is just one thing. And that's what I want to emphasize. And what is that thing? It's interesting. It is for each person to be conformed to the exact image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. Every other thing is an accessory. Did you hear what I said? I need to emphasize this. Listen, Christianity is not how to make you rich. Christianity is not how to break you out of poverty into prosperity. Christianity is not, okay, you know, that is a problem a lot of times. Christians gather on how on solving their problems. God, his primary reason for giving us all the promises is not to solve our temporal problems. What are our temporal problems? I am sick, I want to get healed. I'm poor, I want to be rich. I'm single, I want to be married. I'm married, I want to have children. I have children, I want them to grow. You know, those are temporal matters. Are you getting my point? When I say temporal, they only have to do with this earth. Sometimes when my wife and I will be discussing, or some of me and some brethren, I say, don't forget all this one we are saying. These are still matters of this world, though. And when I say world now, I don't mean the evil world. I mean, these are things that only have to do with here. No matter the principles we want to teach on how to prosper, no matter how much you want to explain it, at the end of the day, naked you came into the world, and naked you are going to depart. Are you getting my point? If you like have a house that's worth 10 billion naira, $50 million, the day you die, in fact, you'll be lucky if they give you, you know, enough space to bury a proper casket. If you're unlucky, they will put you in a mass grave. Do you understand what I say? If you're very unlucky, they won't care whether you're a multi-millionaire. In Nigeria, where we have not learned how to manage disasters very well, if you die in a mass disaster, they bury you in a mass grave. That is, no matter what you achieve on the earth, no matter how spiritual you think it is, there are still matters of this earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's very important we Christians understand it, because we're going to teach a lot of things as we go on along, beginning from now. But I don't want people to ever forget the most important thing in life. The only thing really that you can take away from this earth when you leave is the amount of Christ that has been formed in you. Did you hear what I said? I need to emphasize that. The only thing that you can take away from this earth, really. People say all the souls you want, you will take them to heaven. It's a lie. You know, I've been telling you that. It's a total lie. I don't know where we began it from. You know, Christians, we want to motivate people to do things. We tell stories. And sometimes these stories, they get stuck. And then the stories now become part of Christianity. Now, on that day, you will stand those souls that you want. Bros, on that day, it's only you. You know why God does it like that? It's simple. Because you cannot win any soul. Did you hear what I said? Are you sure you're with me?
Yes.
You can't win any soul. All you can do is what? Preach. Paul can plant. Apollos can water. The Holy Spirit can win the soul. You understand my point? Give the increase. Please, I'm trying to emphasize something to us. So many of the things we pursue in life, they are secondary. The primary thing is what we are discussing. Why is the word of God coming to you? It is simple. It is to transform you to the exact image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The primary reason why the word is coming is not to solve your problems. That's not the primary reason. The primary reason, in fact, I like the way Peter said it. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you see what he said in verse 2, I'll start from 2 just to save time after the greeting. After the introduction. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Seeing that, now notice this, his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He said, for by these he granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Please, you must understand this. The word partakers means to share, that you may share in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Please notice this. He said that there are many promises. God gave us all kinds of promises. You must understand that in life, the experiences you have in life, they affect your nature. That's what he was trying to explain. What I mean is that if you read concerning Satan, it was said, he said, by the multitude of thy, trading? What's that word again? I'm looking for the word. Is it merchandise, he said? Yeah, but by the multitude of your transactions, you fill the center of thee with violence. Are you getting my point? That this experience, the experiences you have in life, affects what really resides inside your soul. That's what he was saying. And so the Bible says that here, that Peter was speaking, that God gave us his promises so that by them we can remove every violence that is inside us. Everything that is negative can be removed. For example, people annoy you. People hurt you. They do things that can be really painful. If you allow that to stick, it affects the presence of the divine nature in you. So there are scriptures that help you understand that that thing must not stick with you. Are you getting my point? People do things to you that hurt you very badly, and then you are angry. Listen, that anger, you understand, is affecting the residence of divine nature inside you. So there are scriptures. I mean, sometimes you have, maybe in life, lack, problems. These are things like was it Lemuel that said in Proverbs, that give me food that is okay for me so that I am not too rich. If I'm too rich, I take the name of the Lord in vain. If I'm too poor, then I steal. Now, what am I trying to say there? You see that the experiences of people's lives can push them in a direction that is wrong. For that reason, if I'm too poor, what do? I take divine promises. Because Paul says something, by the understanding of divine promises, what did I do? Instead of speaking like that, I found that I can remain the same in the midst of my circumstances. Paul said, I learned to abound and how to abase. That is, those circumstances don't attach themselves to me anymore. That's what divine promises do. Like I was saying something before about faith. One of the mistakes people made when they were learning faith, I can't blame the teachers, because you hear what you want to hear. You know what I'm trying to say? A lot of times, yes, you hear what you want to hear. If you listen to those men closely, they did not say many of the things that people claim that they said. Like some people use the principle of Kenneth Hagin to try and be covetous. I said, the man, okay, with all the faith he had and he was teaching, did you notice he used to believe God for money on a weekly basis? Why didn't he believe God for $1 billion? Are you getting my point? The man was saying, God taught him something that if he needed $150 in a week, he would get it. He knew what to do, what to say, how to pray, and the money will come. So I said, those of you think he's the one you are following. Wait, you that are pursuing things that are beyond you, because scriptures will tell you, I have quieted my soul. I do not involve myself in matters too difficult for me. What is a university student believing God for $1 billion for? He won't increase. You know what I'm saying? If they were to dash him $10 million, he will go mental. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes when the teaching on faith, a lot of people took it very wrongly. They turned it to covetousness, how to grab your neighbor's goods. When the Bible makes it clear, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. When we were in school, those days, it was a joke most of the time, but Brenda used to do it, I claim this your share too. That was very unscriptural. You don't claim my shirt. How can you claim my shirt? You are disobeying the scriptures. You should want me to enjoy. If you really love me, you should want me to enjoy my shirt. You should help me wash it because you like it so much. You should help me dry clean it so that it will never get dirty. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, I'm going to make an issue here, talking about this, the promises of God making us partakers of the divine nature. One of the earliest things that faith does for you is not to help you get material things. Let me explain that. The first thing faith does for you is tell you, explain, and help you understand it properly that you don't need it. You know what I said? Let me say it again. Faith's primary agenda is not to give you more money. Faith's primary agenda is for you to understand that a man's life does not consist in the amount of money he has, or if it's a woman, she has. Until you realize that, faith will not bring you money. You only have confusion in life. Because faith will never, listen to this, faith will never teach you how to replace God. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Faith will never teach you how to replace God in your life. There's a joke that a friend of mine and I cracked when we were in school. He cracked the joke. I was serious. But I like to tell the story because it was so instructive. Those days, I said, oh boy, we're just thinking, you know, of your immediate needs. I said, if God says, ask for money, now how much will you ask for? I remember what was in my mind is that, is there anything you would like to do with money now? You understand? Like now, if God says, bank here, how much cash you would like right now? You understand? I know what to tell him. And I know what I'm going to do with it. And I'm not going to try and be pretending that I will give this amount out. It didn't say, how much do you want to give out now? How much do you want to use? You understand my point? Sometimes I want to be nice and spiritual. I say, God, you know, you give me this money, then I will give this one out. If that is the reason why you are looking for the money, it is right. But if that's not the reason, don't pretend. He can read your heart like this. You know, as the beats and digits are moving up and down your soul, to you is hidden. To him is clear. He see as you are rearranging, say, let me tell him, I will give up. He's seen everything. Everything, he's seen it. So don't pretend. All right? If you need 10 million, then I say, go, I need 10 million. Why? Because I want to use one to buy a car, this one to do this one, and this one to start my business. Just say it like that. If you need 15 million, say, yes, I've been trying to do this for our church. I want to help this person. You understand? Then it is a legend. But don't try and be smart. Like, if I just ask God now, he will think I'm not kind. He knows whether you are kind or you are not. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. When, like they say, when they asked Adam, where are you? He knew where Adam was. He wanted to be sure Adam knew where he was. It's true now. You think I'm confused, God? Lie. He knows every corner of the garden. He knows how your presence is disturbing the gravitational waves, you know, according to Albert Einstein. How you have distorted time-space. Those of you who do physics, you know what I'm talking about. Space-time, he knows. So don't worry, he knows. When he said, where are thou? He wanted Adam to know. I have sinned. I am naked. I'm in trouble. I have no... He said, that's what he wanted to hear. You understand what I'm saying? So when God asks questions like, where are thou? He wants to be sure you know where you are. You understand? So, back to the gist I was telling you. So my friend and I, that day, I just said, how much do you win? He said, I will ask him for 2 billion. In case you do not know, the 2 billion naira of that time is not the same as today. That time, naira was still exchanging to the dollar. I can't remember the exact figure, but this was 1989-90. All right? So it was still exchanging maybe like somewhere between 3 to 4 naira to the dollar. So it's like today, asking for like $1 billion. Do you understand? So like, hey. I said, why? You know, I was like, what do you want to do with that? You know, bloody student, you know, where is school? Our niece not pass it. Then if you want to impress the sisters, you buy them a gift and buy suya. You know, they pass like that. We did not even want to drive a car on campus. Why were you trying to drive the car? You know, so I'm like, what are you asking for that kind of money for? He said, so that I will never have to ask him again. I said, you see why he won't answer you? You want to replace him in your, in his, you know, in your life? Do you understand my point? I said, look, this is why he won't answer you. You want to replace God in your life? He will not answer. He won't. I'm talking about faith. Faith cannot help you replace God in your life. By my faith, I will get something. Sometimes those who are called to ministry, that's the mistake they make. I like to drop this once in a while. Like Apostle will say, this is still ministers' conference. We should keep having it. God calls you to ministry. Then let me go and start a business first. So when I enter into the ministry, this business will be supporting the ministry. Just know you are not called. Or your case is like that. Is like that of Elisha. He said, wait. Elijah said, follow me. Threw a mantle on him. He said, wait first. Let me go home and go and kiss them. Bye-bye. Elijah said, waiting concern me, concern you. I talk to you. My wife was asking me the other day, that, what does he mean by that? I said, Elijah was telling him, in effect, if you don't want to come, don't be by horse. So when the guy understood that, he went, killed the oxen, used the plows to set the whole thing on fire, had the feast, and then he moved. Someone said, no, 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 let the plow continue, so that from the plowing place, we will not be able to take an offering. You know, let me tell you something here. When you want to do what is right, do them for the right purposes. Some people say, so that I won't have to beg anybody for money. One of the things, well, not the early, but one of the things I learned early, all right, as a Christian, was to accept gifts. And because when you say, I don't want to beg anybody for money, a lot of times, it's nothing but pride. You don't want to look like you are begging. Your friends are there, any big money. They have to hand you money before you know you have. It's nothing but pride. It's different from the one in which you say, lie, I will not lie with the name of God, because all this one that pastors do a lot, raise money, preach, go ahead, change message, depending on the account balance of the church, is iniquity. Yes, all this one, you change message, depending on the account balance of your church, is iniquity. So it's different when you say that, look, I will never do that with the word of God, which is right. You should have that kind of righteous indignation and say, I will never do that, okay? However, you have to be careful that you're not walking in pride. I remember those very, very early days when I started preaching. If I finished preaching and they give me money, I used to be embarrassed. I said, no, don't worry. And the idea was that, why should I collect money? But now if I refuse to collect money, it's for a different purpose. Are you getting my point? The reason now is different. Sometimes I just want to support the work that's going on. Sometimes, like, if I go to our fellowship, there are fellowships we have some relationship with. I just feel like, look, they are students. It's all right for them to give. I'm not saying it's wrong. You understand my point? It's right for them to give. It's very, very correct. It is good. Amen?
Amen.
Uh-huh. But sometimes I just feel like, no, let's bring them a gift. Do you get my point? I want to encourage them that, look, this kind of program, I like to participate. If you guys are doing it, don't worry. And I don't want the young boys and girls to be worried about the expenses. You understand? Because when, in quotes now, I'm not a big man, but they think so. But, you know, when big man is coming, which hotel will you put him, all those kind of things. It can be, let's spare them these expenses. But it's not because, no, I am too big for your money. I'm not too big for your money. A laborer is worthy of his wages. If you dash me 1,000 naira because I blessed you, I receive it with prayer, the same prayer as the man who gave me 100,000 naira. It's the same thing. I know God taught me that one very, very, very early. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, please, I'm trying to bring out a principle here. So, sometimes, when people do things, it's because they don't have the right mindset. It may look righteous, may look good, but they don't have the right mindset. Please, back to what I was saying. So, you see, faith. What faith does, okay, is to teach you, first of all, the right things. Now, I was talking about faith will never help you replace God in your life. That's why I went into this issue of some, they're just helping ministers. You cannot keep a business to support. You know, one of the things I told God at the beginning, and I like to give the testimony, all right? It's a good testimony. As of today, whether I give to Kingdom World or not, I have some income from where I work, you know, for federal government. And then my wife does some things, and from those other incomes, we give to Kingdom World Ministries also, just like everybody else does. But one thing that makes me glad is that whether I give or not, Kingdom World does not notice. It has happened in previous times that my wife and I quickly remember that we're supposed to give. Why? Because we need money. You understand? When you want to pay rent and you never give, you to remember quickly give. You understand? But now, it doesn't happen. Yes, it doesn't happen. It's just part of personal discipline. That's all. So if I forget for a whole year, the finances of Kingdom World will not fill it. Because from the beginning, I prayed that prayer. I said, God, if I have to finance the ministry by myself, you didn't call me. It's true. You did not call me. You did not. If you're a preacher, you have to be financing ministry by yourself. Go and pray. Check whether you were called. I'm not saying you were not. I just said you should go and do what? Go and check. The chances are that you are not. If you don't pass a few years, you're not blessing anybody. Or you don't know how to pray the right prayer. Maybe that's the problem. And God has not yet seen it. No, there's something's wrong. Something's wrong. Those are supposed to be temporary things, you know, just for a short period. All right? Please, let me sit on the meeting I'm trying to say. So you see, faith does not at all teach you to disobey God. What do I mean? If God says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses, faith can never be used to prove that a man's life consists in the abundance of things which he possesses. You cannot now use faith to claim a car because you have two. You have an inferiority complex when you get amongst your friends that have cars. God, all of us gather at the same time. We are going for our alumni next week. How can I trek go? Do you understand my point? You know, the last time we came, you know Alfred. I was the one that used to coach him when we were in class. He came with the newest model Camry. God, when will you wipe away this shame? That is not faith. The first thing faith does for you is to teach you how to shine your shoes, wear your faded, jacket, go there with pride, and rejoice. You say, Alfred, you don't change him again. Give me a ride, give me a ride, give me a ride. Jump inside his car, let him drive me around. Bless him and say, Alfred, I can never enter this kind of car and not bless it. Bring your 1,000 naira, stop somewhere, buy 10 liters of fuel, put her inside, say, may I wash them for you. You do that with pride. That is the first thing faith does for you. If you leave the place and you are going to pray, God, I see this grace today. That is not faith. It's not faith. Pray that prayer, it will not work. If it works, apparently, it is like the children of Israel that prayed for meat when God didn't want them to have meat. He sent them meat, they ate until they were full and they became sick. If under those circumstances you get a car, that car will ruin you. Before, you used to have peace of mind, you could eat and be happy. But now, mechanic will call you at 7 a.m. Oh God, I don't take camp. What's happening? Your thyroid will break. In the 7 a.m., let me wake up first. Oh God, you say you need the car today. Meet me here. I'm at, you give your address. You will reach there. As soon as you are finishing the thyroid, the guy with the air conditioner will say, they don't bring the condenser, have you? Is it evaporator? They don't bring condenser. How much is it? 16,000. It is called, they gave them meat. He gave them meat. Then he sent leanness into their souls. The fact is that the blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrows. If you have a car that's giving you sorrow and you can't change it, go and pack it. I'm not joking. It's a literal. What I said is literal. Pack it. Do like they say in my place. Put it on top of mortar. You know what's mortar? When we're young, those days, when a car cannot move again, they remove the tires and put it on top of old mortars. You know, the mortars are thick pieces of wood. So then when they describe the car for somebody, they say, how is Mr. Charlie Coco's car? He say, his car, he don't climb mortar. We understood what he meant. Go put the car on mortar. Leave it there. I'm going to emphasize what faith does. The first thing faith does, listen to me, is to teach you that those things don't determine your life. That's the hope of his calling we are talking about. This is the first hope. All these teachings we are doing is, first of all, to best Christ in us. Paul said, my beloved, my little children, of whom I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you. Not until you have a lot of money. Please, I hope you are getting my point. What is the reason why we are doing all of these things? It is not so that somebody can come and say, Pastor Banky said 2015 is my season of fruitfulness. See my car now. I have been fruitful. You will be fruitful, amen? Amen. You will buy cars abundantly, say amen. But that is not the primary thing. That's the point I'm making. The reason why Peter said, why we have the promises, is so that even though we go to the valley of the shadow of death, we don't deny him. Why? The promise is said, he's there with us. That's what it is. That is the first thing that the word of God is doing for us. He's not trying to solve our problems first. It will solve the, please get me, it will solve the problems though. I'm not saying it will not. That's why I'm using that money as an example. But the first thing is not to teach the young man how to get a car. The first thing is to teach the young man, say, car or no car, you are complete in him. Are you getting my point? That is the first thing. The word of God first explains to you that, oh boy, car or no car, you are complete in him. Wife or no wife, you are complete in him. Husband or no husband, you are complete in him. That is the first thing the word teaches. That is why we don't go to prayer with anxiety and fretting. Honestly. One of those, I told you those early days, God helped me. He helped me. I pray I trust he's helping you the way he helped me. I'm sure, because I told you when I finished my youth service in 93, when I got back to Lagos, the first thing God did to me was to show me that, logo boy, let me show you something about money. I said, all right. I didn't know, of course. Later on, I started looking back.